Now, who art thou that cleavest through our smoke and art discoursing of us, even as though thou didst by Calends still divide the time? After this manner my voice was spoken, whereon my master said, Do thou reply, and ask if on this side the way go upward. And I, O creature that dost cleanse thyself to return beautiful to him who made thee, thou shalt hear marvels if thou follow me.
Thee will I follow far as is allowed me, he answered, and if smoke prevent our seeing, hearing shall keep us joined instead thereof.
Thereon began I, With that swathing band which death unwindeth, am I going upward, and hither came I through the infernal anguish. And if God in his grace has me enfolded, so that he wills that I behold his court by method wholly out of modern usage, conceal not from me who, ere death thou wast, but tell it me, and tell me if I go right for the pass, and be thy words our escort.
Lombard was I, and I was Marco called. The world I knew and loved that excellence, at which has each one now unbent his bow. For mounting upward, thou art going right.
Thus he made answer, and subjoined,
I pray thee to pray for me, when thou shalt be above.
And I to him, My faith I pledge to thee to do what thou dost ask me, but am bursting inly with doubt unless I rid me of it. First it was simple, and is now made double by thy opinion, which makes certain to me here and elsewhere that which I couple with it. The world, forsooth, is utterly deserted by every virtue, as thou tellest me, and with iniquity is big and covered. But I beseech thee, point me out the cause, that I may see it, and to others show it. For one in the heavens, and here below one puts it. A sigh profound, that grief forced into eye. He first sent forth, and then began he,
Brother, the world is blind, and sooth thou comest from it. Ye who are living every cause refer still upward to the heavens, as if all things they of necessity moved with themselves. If this were so, in you would be destroyed free will, nor any justice would there be in having joy for good or grief for evil. The heavens your movements do initiate, I say not all. But granting that I say it, light has been given you for good and evil, and free volition, which if some fatigue in the first battles with the heavens it suffers, afterwards conquers all, if well 'tis nurtured. To greater force and to a better nature, though free, ye subject are, and that creates the mind in you the heavens have not in charge. Hence, if the present world doth go astray, in you the cause is, be it sought in you. And I therein will now be thy true spy. Forth from the hand of him who fondles it, before it is, like to a little girl weeping and laughing in her childish sport, issues the simple soul that nothing knows, save that, proceeding from a joyous maker, gladly it turns to that which gives it pleasure. Of trivial good at first it tastes the savour, is cheated by it, and runs after it, if guide or rein turn not aside its love. Hence it behoved laws for a rein to place, behoved a king to have, who at the least of the true city should discern the tower. The laws exist, but who sets hand to them? No one, because the shepherd who precedes can ruminate, but cleaveth not the hoof. Wherefore the people that perceives its guide strike only at the good for which it hankers, feeds upon that, and farther seeketh not. Clearly canst thou perceive that evil guidance the cause is that has made the world depraved, and not that nature is corrupt in you. Rome, that reformed the world, accustomed was two sons to have, which one road and the other, of God and of the world, made manifest. One has the other quenched, and to the crosier the sword is joined, and ill beseemeth it that by main force one with the other go, because, being joined, one feareth not the other. If thou believe not, think upon the grain, for by its seed each herb is recognized. And the land laved by Poe and Adige, valor and courtesy used to be found before that Frederick had his controversy. No insecurity can pass that way, whoever will abstain, through sense of shame, from speaking with the good, or drawing near them. True, three old men are left, in whom upbraids the ancient age the new, and late they deem it that God restore them to the better life. Corrado da Palazzo, and good Gerardo, and Guido da Castel, who better named is, in fashion of the French, the simple Lombard. Say thou henceforward that the Church of Rome, confounding in itself two governments, falls in the mire, and soils itself and burden.
O Marco mine, I said, thou reasonest well, and now discern I why the sons of Levi have been excluded from the heritage. But what Gerardo is it who, as sample of a lost race, thou sayest has remained in reprobation of the barbarous age?
Either thy speech deceives me or it tempts me, he answered me. For speaking Tuscan to me, it seems of good Gerardo naught thou knowest. By other surname do I know him not, unless I take it from his daughter Gaia. May God be with you, for I come no farther. Behold the dawn that through the smoke rays out, already whitening, and I must depart. Yonder the angel is, ere he appear. Thus did he speak, and would no farther hear me.
Purgatory. Canto 17.
Remember, reader, if ere in the Alps a mist o'ertook thee, through which thou couldst see not otherwise than through its membrane mole, how, when the vapors humid and condensed begin to dissipate themselves, the sphere of the sun feebly enters in among them, and thy imagination will be swift in coming to perceive how I re-saw the sun at first that was already setting. Thus to the faithful footsteps of my master, mating mine own, I issued from that cloud to raise already dead on the low shores. O thou imagination that dost steal us so from without sometimes, that man perceives not, although around may sound a thousand trumpets, who moveth thee if sense impel thee not? Moves thee a light which in the heaven takes form by self, or by a will that downward guides it? Of her impiety who changed her form into the bird that most delights in singing, in my imagining appeared the trace. And hereupon my mind was so withdrawn within itself that from without there came nothing that then might be received by it. Then reigned within my lofty fantasy one crucified, disdainful and ferocious in countenance, and even thus was dying. Around him were the great Ahasuerus, Esther his wife, and the just Mordecai, who was in word and action so entire. And even as this image burst asunder of its own self in fashion of a bubble in which the water it was made of fails, there rose up in my vision a young maiden, bitterly weeping, and she said, O Queen, Why hast thou wished in anger to be naught? Thou'st slain thyself, Lavinia, not to lose. Now hast thou lost me. I am she who mourns, mother, at thine ere at another's ruin. As sleep is broken, when upon a sudden new light strikes in upon the eyelids closed, and broken quivers ere it dieth wholly, so this imagining of mine fell down as soon as the effulgence smote my face, greater by far than what is in our wont. I turned me around to see where I might be, when said a voice, "Here is the passage up," which from all other purposes removed me, and made my wish so full of eagerness to look and see who it was that was speaking, it never rests till meeting face to face. But as before the sun which quells the sight, and in its own excess its figure veils, even so my power was insufficient here.
"This is a spirit divine, who in the way of going up directs us without asking, and who with his own light himself conceals. He does with us as man doth with himself, for he who sees the need and waits the asking malignly leans already towards denial. Accord we now our feet to such inviting, let us make haste to mount ere it grow dark, for then we could not till the day return."
Thus my conductor said, and I and he together turned our footsteps to a stairway, and I, as soon as the first step I reached, near me perceived a motion as of wings, and fanning in the face, and saying, "Beati pacifici, who are without ill anger." Already over us were so uplifted the latest sunbeams which the night pursues, that upon many sides the stars appeared. "O manhood mine, why dost thou vanish so?" I said within myself, for I perceived the vigour of my legs was put in truce. We at the point where no more ascends the stairway upward, and were motionless, even as a ship which at the shore arrives. And I gave heed a little if I might hear aught whatsoever in the circle new. Then to my master turned me round and said, "Say, my sweet father, what delinquency is purged here in the circle where we are? Although our feet may pause, pause not thy speech." And he to me,
"The love of good, remiss in what it should have done, is here restored. Here plied again the ill-belated oar. But still more openly to understand, turn unto me thy mind, and thou shalt gather some profitable fruit from our delay. Neither creator nor a creature ever, son," he began, "was destitute of love, natural or spiritual, and thou knowest it. The natural was ever without error. But ere the other may by evil object, or by too much, or by too little vigour. While in the first it well directed is, and in the second moderates itself, it cannot be the cause of sinful pleasure. But when to ill it turns, and, with more care, or lesser than it ought, runs after good, against the Creator works his own creation. Hence thou mayest comprehend that love must be the seed within yourselves of every virtue, and every act that merits punishment. Now, insomuch as never from the welfare of its own subject can love turn its sight, from their own hatred all things are secure. And since we cannot think of any being standing alone, nor from the first divided, of hating him is all desire cut off. Hence, if discriminating, I judge well, the evil that one loves is of one's neighbour, and this is born in three modes in your clay. There are who, by abasement of their neighbour, hope to excel, and therefore only long that from his greatness he may be cast down. There are who power, grace, honour, and renown fear they may lose because another rises,
Fants are so sad that the reverse they love. And there are those whom injury seems to chafe, so that it makes them greedy for revenge, and such must needs shape out another's harm. This threefold love is wept for down below. Now of the other will I have thee here, that runneth after good with measure faulty. Each one confusedly a good conceives, wherein the mind may rest and longeth for it. Therefore to overtake it each one strives. If languid love to look on this attract you, or in attaining unto it, this cornice, after just penitence, torments you for it. There's other good that does not make man happy. 'Tis not felicity, 'tis not the good essence of every good, the fruit and root. The love that yields itself too much to this above us is lamented in three circles. But how tripartite it may be described, I say not, that thou seek it for thyself.
Purgatory. Canto 18.
An end had put unto his reasoning the lofty teacher, and attent was looking into my face if I appeared content. And I, whom a new thirst still goaded on, without was mute, and said within, "Perchance the too much questioning I make annoys him." But that true father, who had comprehended the timid wish that opened not itself, by speaking gave me hardihood to speak. Whence I, "My sight is, master, vivified so in thy light, that clearly I discern whate'er thy speech importeth or describes. Therefore I thee entreat, sweet father dear, to teach me love, to which thou dost refer every good action and its contrary."
"Direct," he said, "towards me the keen eyes of intellect, and clear will be to thee the error of the blind who would be leaders. The soul, which is created apt to love, is mobile unto everything that pleases, soon as by pleasure she is waked to action. Your apprehension from some real thing an image draws, and in yourself displays it so that it makes the soul turn unto it. And if, when turned, towards it she incline, love is that inclination. It is nature, which is by pleasure bound in you anew, then, even as the fire doth upward move by its own form, which to ascend is born, where longest in its matter it endures, so comes the captive soul into desire, which is a motion spiritual, and ne'er rests until she doth enjoy the thing beloved. Now may apparent be to thee how hidden the truth is from those people who aver all love is in itself a laudable thing. Because its matter may perchance appear aye to be good, but yet not each impression is good, albeit good may be the wax."
"Thy words and my sequacious intellect," I answered him, "have love revealed to me, but that has made me more impregned with doubt. For if love from without be offered us, and with another foot the soul go not, if right or wrong she go, 'tis not her merit."
And he to me, "What reason seeth here, myself can tell thee. Beyond that, await for Beatrice, since 'tis a work of faith. Every substantial form that segregate from matter is, and with it is united, specific power has in itself collected, which without act is not perceptible, nor shows itself except by its effect, as life does in a plant by the green leaves. But still, whence cometh the intelligence of the first notions? Man is ignorant. And the affection for the first allurements, which are in you as instinct in the bee to make its honey. And this first desire, merit of praise or blame, containeth not. Now that To this all others may be gathered. Innate within you is the power that counsels, and it should keep the threshold of assent. This is the principle from which is taken occasion of desert in you, according as good and guilty loves it takes and winnows. Those who, in reasoning, to the bottom went, were of this innate liberty aware. Therefore bequeathed they ethics to the world. Supposing, then, that from necessity springs every love that is within you kindled, within yourselves the power is to restrain it. The noble virtue Beatrice understands by the free will, and therefore see that thou bear it in mind if she should speak of it.
The moon, belated almost unto midnight, now made the stars appear to us more rare, formed like a bucket that is all ablaze, and counter to the heavens ran through those paths which the sun sets aflame when he of Rome sees it twixt Sardis and Corsicans go down. And that patrician shade for whom is named Pietola, more than any Mantuan town, had laid aside the burden of my lading. Whence I, who reason manifest and plain, in answer to my questions had received, stood like a man in drowsy reverie. But taken from me was this drowsiness, suddenly by a people that behind our backs already had come round to us. And as of old, Ismenus and Asopus beside them saw at night the rush and throng, if but the Thebans were in need of Bacchus. So they, along that circle, curved their step from what I saw of those approaching us, who by good will and righteous love are ridden. Full soon they were upon us, because running moved onward all that mighty multitude, and two in the advance cried out, lamenting, Mary in haste unto the mountain ran, and Caesar, that he might subdue Ilerda, thrust at Marseille, and then ran into Spain. Quick, quick, so that the time may not be lost by little love, forthwith the others cried, for ardour in well-doing freshens grace.
O folk, in whom an eager fervour now supplies, perhaps delay and negligence, put by you in well-doing through lukewarmness, this one who lives, and truly I lie not, would fain go up, if but the sun relights us. So tell us where the passage nearest is.
These were the words of him who was my guide, and some one of those spirits said, Come on behind us, and the opening shalt thou find. So full of longing are we to move onward, that stay we cannot. Therefore pardon us if thou for churlishness our justice take. I was San Zeno's abbot at Verona, under the empire of good Barbarossa, of whom still sorrowing Milan holds discourse. And he has one foot in the grave already, who shall ere long lament that monastery, and sorry be of having there had power, because his son in his whole body sick, and worse in mind, and who was evil born, he put into the place of its true pastor. If more he said or silent was, I know not. He had already passed so far beyond us. But this I heard, and to retain it pleased me. And he who was in every need my succour said,
Turn thee hitherward. See two of them come fastening upon slothfulness their teeth.
In rear of all they shouted, Sooner were the people dead to whom the sea was opened than their inheritors the Jordan saw, and those who the fatigue did not endure unto the issue, with Anchises' son themselves to life withouten glory offered. Then, when from us so separated were those shades that they no longer could be seen, within me a new thought did entrance find, whence others many and diverse were born. And so I lapsed from one into another, that in a reverie mine eyes I closed, and meditation into dream transmuted.
Thank you. Purgatory. Canto 19.
It was the hour when the diurnal heat no more can warm the coldness of the moon, vanquished by Earth, or peradventure Saturn, when Germanus their Fortuna Major see in the Orient before the dawn rise by a path that long remains not dim. There came to me in dreams a stammering woman, squint in her eyes and in her feet distorted, with hands dissevered and of sallow hue. I looked at her, and as the sun restores the frigid members which the night benumbs, even thus my gaze did render voluble her tongue, and made all her erect thereafter in little while, and the lost countenance, as love desires it so, in her did colour. When in this wise she had her speech unloosed, she gan to sing so that with difficulty could I have turned my thoughts away from her. "I am," she sang, "I am the siren sweet, who mariners amid the main unman, so full am I of pleasantness to hear. I drew Ulysses from his wandering way unto my song, and he who dwells with me seldom departs, so wholly I content him." Her mouth was not yet closed again before appeared a lady, saintly and alert, close at my side to put her to confusion. "Virgilius, O Virgilius, who is this?" sternly she said. And he was drawing near with eyes still fixed upon that modest one. She seized the other and in front laid open, rending her garments, and her belly showed me. This waked me with the stench that issued from it. I turned mine eyes, and good Virgilius said,
"At least thrice have I called thee. Rise and come, find we the opening by which thou mayest enter."
I rose, and full already of high day were all the circles of the sacred mountain, and with the new sun at our back we went. Following behind him, I my forehead bore like unto one who has it laden with thought, who makes himself the half arch of a bridge, when I heard say, "Come, here the passage is," spoken in a manner gentle and benign, such as we hear not in this mortal region. With open wings, which of a swan appeared, upward he turned us who thus spake to us, between the two walls of the solid granite. He moved his pinions afterwards, and fanned us, affirming those qui lugent to be blessed, for they shall have their souls with comfort filled.
"What aileth thee, that, aye, to earth thou gazest?"
"To me," my guide began to say, "we both somewhat beyond the angel having mounted. And I, with such misgiving makes me go a vision new, which bends me to itself, so that I cannot from the thought withdraw me."
"Didst thou behold," he said, "that old enchantress, whose soul above us henceforth is lamented? Didst thou behold how man is freed from her? Suffice it thee, and smite earth with thy heels. Thine eyes lift upward to the lure that worlds the eternal king with revolutions vast."
Even as the hawk, that first his feet surveys, then turns him to the call and stretches forward through the desire of food that draws him thither, such I became, and such, as far as cleaves the rock to give a way to him who mounts, went on to where the circling doth begin. On the fifth circle, when I had come forth, people I saw upon it who were weeping, stretched prone upon the ground, all downward turned. "Adhesit pavimento anima mea," I heard them say, with sighing so profound that hardly could the words be understood.
"O ye elect of God, whose sufferings justice and hope both render less severe, direct ye us towards the high ascents.
If ye are come secure from this prostration, and wish to find the way most speedily, let your right hands be evermore outside.
Thus did the poet ask, and thus was answered by them somewhat in front of us. Whence I, in what was spoken, divined the rest concealed, and unto my lord's eyes, mine eyes, I turned. Whence he assented with a cheerful sign to what the sight of my desire implored. When of myself I could dispose at will above that creature did I draw myself, whose words before had caused me to take note, saying, O Spirit, in whom weeping ripens that without which to God we cannot turn, suspend a while for me thy greater care. Who wast thou, and why are your backs turned upwards? Tell me, and if thou wouldst that I procure thee anything there whence living I departed. And he to me,
Wherefore our backs the heaven turns to itself. No, shalt thou, but beforehand, scius quod ego fui successor petri. Between Siestri and Chiaveri descends a river beautiful, and of its name the title of my blood its summit makes. A month and little more essayed I how weighs the great cloak on him from mire who keeps it, for all the other burdens seem a feather. Tardy, ah, woe is me, was my conversion. But when the Roman shepherd I was made, then I discovered life to be a lie. I saw that there the heart was not at rest, nor farther in that life could one ascend, whereby the love of this was kindled in me. Until that time a wretched soul, and parted from God was I, and wholly avaricious. Now, as thou seest, I here am punished for it. What avarice does is here made manifest in the purgation of these souls converted, and no more bitter pain the mountain has. Even as our eye did not uplift itself aloft, being fastened upon earthly things, so justice here has merged it in the earth. As avarice had extinguished our affection for every good whereby was action lost, so justice here doth hold us in restraint, bound and imprisoned by the feet and hands, and so long as it pleases the just Lord, shall we remain immovable and prostrate.
I on my knees had fallen and wished to speak, but even as I began, and he was ware only by listening of my reverence,
What cause, he said, has downward bent thee thus?
And I to him, For your own dignity, standing, my conscience stung me with remorse.
Straighten thy legs, and upward raise thee, brother,
he answered.
Ere not, fellow servant, am I with thee, and with the others to one power. If e'er that holy evangelic sound, which saith, Neque nubent, thou hast heard, well canst thou see why in this wise I speak. Now go, no longer will I have thee linger, because thy stay doth incommode my weeping, with which I ripen that which thou hast said. On earth I have a grandchild named Elijah, good in herself, unless indeed our house malevolent may make her by example, and she alone remains to me on earth.
Purgatory. Canto 20.
Ill strives the will against a better will. Therefore, to pleasure him, against my pleasure, I drew the sponge not saturate from the water. Onward I moved, and onward moved my leader, through vacant places, skirting still the rock, as on a wall close to the battlements.
For they that through their eyes pour drop by drop the malady which all the world pervades, on the other side, too near, the verge approach. Accursed mayst thou be, thou old she-wolf, that more than all the other beasts hast prey, because of hunger infinitely hollow. O heaven, in whose gyration some appear to think conditions here below are changed, when will he come through whom she shall depart? Onward we went with footsteps slow and scarce, and I, attentive to the shades, I heard piteously weeping and bemoaning them, and I by peradventure heard, "Sweet Mary," uttered in front of us, amid the weeping, even as a woman does who is in childbirth, and in continuance, "How poor thou wast is manifested by that hostelry where thou didst lay thy sacred burden down." Thereafterward I heard, "O good Fabricius, virtue with poverty didst thou prefer to the possession of great wealth with vice." So pleasurable were these words to me, that I drew farther onward to have knowledge touching that spirit whence they seemed to come. He furthermore was speaking of the largesse which Nicholas unto the maidens gave, in order to conduct their youth to honour. O soul that dost so excellently speak, tell me who wast thou, said I, and why only thou dost renew these praises well deserved? Not without recompense shall be thy word, if I return to finish the short journey of that life which is flying to its end. And he, I'll tell thee, not for any comfort I may expect from earth, but that so much grace shines in thee, or ever thou art dead. I was the root of that malignant plant which overshadows all the Christian world, so that good fruit is seldom gathered from it. But if Douai and Ghent and Lille and Bruges had power, soon vengeance would be taken on it, and this I pray of him who judges all. Hugh Capet was I called upon the earth. From me were born the Louis and Philips, by whom in later days has France been governed. I was the son of a Parisian butcher, what time the ancient kings had perished all, excepting one, contrite in cloth of grey. I found me grasping in my hands the reign of the realm's government, and so great power of new acquest, and so with friends abounding, that to the widowed diadem promoted the head of mine own offspring was, from whom the consecrated bones of these began. So long as the great dowry of Provence out of my blood took not the sense of shame, 'twas little worth, but still it did no harm. Then it began with falsehood and with force its rapine, and thereafter for amends took Ponthieu, Normandy, and Gascony. Charles came to Italy, and for amends a victim made of Conradin, and then thrust Thomas back to heaven for amends. A time I see not very distant now, which draweth forth another Charles from France, the better to make known both him and his. Unarmed he goes, and only with the lance that Judas jousted with, and that he thrusts so that he makes the paunch of Florence burst. He fence not land, but sin and infamy shall gain, so much more grievous to himself as the more light such damage he accounts. The other, now gone forth, ta'en in his ship, see I his daughter sell and chaffer for her as corsairs do with other female slaves. What more, O avarice, canst thou do to us? Since thou my blood so to thyself hast drawn, it careth not for its own proper flesh.
that less may seem the future ill and past, I see the flower de luce Alagna enter, and Christ in his own vicar captive made. I see him yet another time derided. I see renewed the vinegar and gall, and between living thieves I see him slain. I see the modern pilot so relentless. This does not sate him, but without decretal he to the temple bears his sordid sails. When, O my lord, shall I be joyful made by looking on the vengeance which, concealed, makes sweet thine anger in thy secrecy? What I was saying of that only bride of the Holy Ghost, and which occasioned thee to turn towards me for some commentary, so long has been ordained to all our prayers as the day lasts, but when the night comes on, contrary sound we take instead thereof. At that time we repeat Pygmalion, of whom a traitor, thief, and parricide made his insatiable desire of gold, and the mystery of avaricious Midas that followed his inordinate demand, at which forevermore one needs but laugh. The foolish Ashan each one then records, and how he stole the spoils, so that the wrath of Joshua still appears to sting him there. Then we accuse Sapphira with her husband. We laud the hoofbeats Heliodorus' head, and the whole mountain infamy encircles Polymnestor, who murdered Polydorus. Here, finally, is cried, O Crassus, tell us, for thou dost know, what is the taste of gold? Sometimes we speak, one loud, another low, according to desire of speech that spurs us to greater now, and now to lesser pace. But in the good that here by day is talked of, erewhile alone I was not, yet nearby no other person lifted up his voice. From him already we departed were, and made endeavour to o'ercome the road as much as was permitted to our power, when I perceived, like something that is falling, the mountain tremble, whence a chill seized on me, as seizes him who to his death is going. Certes, so violently shook not Delos before Latona made her nest therein to give birth to the two eyes of the heaven. Then upon all sides there began a cry, such that the master drew himself towards me, saying, Fear not, while I am guiding thee. Gloria in excelsis Deo, all were saying, from what near I comprehended, where it was possible to hear the cry. We paused, immovable and in suspense, even as the shepherds who first heard that song, until the trembling ceased, and it was finished. Then we resumed again our holy path, watching the shades that lay upon the ground already turn to their accustomed plaint. No ignorance ever with so great a stripe had rendered me importunate to know, if erreth not in this my memory, as meditating then I seemed to have. Nor out of haste to question did I dare, nor of myself I there could aught perceive. So I went onward, timorous and thoughtful.
Purgatory. Canto 21.
The natural thirst that ne'er is satisfied excepting with the water for whose grace the woman of Samaria besought put me in travail, and haste goaded me along the encumbered path behind my leader, and I was pitying that righteous vengeance. And lo,
In the same manner as Luke writeth that Christ appeared to two upon the way from the sepulchre cave already risen, a shade appeared to us and came behind us, down gazing on the prostrate multitude, nor were we aware of it until it spake, saying, "My brothers, may God give you peace." We turned us suddenly, and Virgilius rendered to him the countersign thereto conforming. Thereon began he, "In the blessed council, thee may the court voracious place in peace, that me doth banish in eternal exile." "How?" said he, and the while we went with speed. "If ye are shades whom God deigns not on high, who up his stairs so far has guided you?" And said my teacher, "If thou note the marks which this one bears, and which the angel traces, well shalt thou see, he with the good must reign. But because she who spinneth day and night for him had not yet drawn the distaff off, which Clotho lays for each one and compacts, his soul, which is thy sister and my own, in coming upwards could not come alone, by reason that it sees not in our fashion. Whence I was drawn from out the ample throat of hell to be his guide, and I shall guide him as far on as my school has power to lead. But tell us, if thou knowest, why such a shudder erewhile the mountain gave, and why together all seemed to cry as far as its moist feet?"
In asking, he so hit the very eye of my desire, that merely with the hope my thirst became the less unsatisfied. "Naught is there," he began, "that without order may the religion of the mountain feel, nor aught that may be foreign to its custom. Free is it here from every permutation. What from itself heaven in itself receiveth can be of this the cause, and not beside. Because that neither rain, nor hail, nor snow, nor dew, nor hoar frost any higher falls than the short little stairway up three steps. Dense clouds do not appear, nor rarefied, nor coruscation, nor the daughter of Thaumas, that often upon earth her region shifts. No arid vapour any farther rises than to the top of the three steps I spake of, whereon the vicar of Peter has his feet. Lower down perchance it trembles less or more, but for the wind that in the earth is hidden, I know not how. Up here it never trembled. It trembles here whenever any soul feels itself pure, so that it soars or moves to mount aloft, and such a cry attends it. Of purity the will alone gives proof, which, being wholly free to change its convent, takes by surprise the soul and helps it fly. First it wills well, but the desire permits not, which divine justice with the selfsame will there was to sin upon the torment sets. And I, who have been lying in this pain 500 years and more, but just now felt a free volition for a better seat. Therefore thou heardst the earthquake and the pious spirits among the mountain rendering praise unto the Lord, that soon he speed them upwards." So said he to him, "And since we enjoy as much in drinking as the thirst is great, I could not say how much it did me good." And the wise leader,
"Now I see the net that snares you here, and how ye are set free. Why the earthquakes, and wherefore ye rejoice. Now who thou wast, be pleased that I may know, and why so many centuries thou hast here been lying, let me gather from thy words."
"In days when the good Titus, with the aid of the supremest king, avenged the wounds whence issued forth the blood by Judas sold, under the name that most endures and honours, was I on earth," that spirit made reply, "greatly renowned, but not with faith as yet.
My vocal spirit was so sweet that Rome, me, a Thelusian, drew unto herself, where I deserved to deck my brows with myrtle. Statius, the people name me still on earth. I sang of Thebes, and then of great Achilles, but on the way fell with my second burden. The seeds unto my ardour were the sparks of that celestial flame which heated me, whereby more than 1,000 have been fired. Not the Aeneid I speak, which to me a mother was, and was my nurse in song. Without this weighed I not a drachma's weight, and to have lived upon the earth what time Virgilius lived, I would accept one son more than I must ere issuing from my ban. These words towards me made Virgilius turn with looks that in their silence said, Be silent. But yet the power that wills cannot do all things. For tears and laughter are such persuavance unto the passion from which each springs forth. In the most truthful least, the will they follow. I only smiled as one who gives the wink, whereat the shade was silent, and it gazed into mine eyes where most expression dwells. And, as thou well mayst consummate a labour so great, it said, Why did thy face just now display to me the lighting of a smile? How am I caught on this side and on that? One keeps me silent, one to speak conjures me. Wherefore I sigh and am understood. Speak, said my master, and be not afraid of speaking, but speak out and say to him what he demands with such solicitude. Whence I? Thou peradventure marvellest, O antique spirit, at the smile I gave. But I will have more wonder seize upon thee. This one who guides on high these eyes of mine is that Virgilius from whom thou didst learn to sing aloud of men and of the gods. If other cause thou to my smile imputest, abandon it as false, and trust it was those words which thou hast spoken concerning him. Already he was stooping to embrace my teacher's feet, but he said to him, Brother, do not, for shade thou art, and shade beholdest. And he, uprising, Now canst thou the sum of love which warms me to thee comprehend, when this our vanity I disremember, treating a shadow as substantial thing.
Purgatory. Canto 22.
Already was the angel left behind us, the angel who to the sixth round had turned us, having erased one mark from off my face. And those who have in justice their desire had said to us, Beati in their voices, with sitio, and without more ended it. And I, more light than through the other passes, went onward so that without any labor I followed upward the swift-footed spirits. When thus Virgilius began, The love kindled by virtue I another kindles, provided outwardly its flame appear. Hence, from the hour that Juvenal descended among us into the infernal limbo, who made apparent to me thy affection, my kindliness towards thee was as great as ever bound one to an unseen person, so that these stairs will now seem short to me. But tell me, and forgive me as a friend, if too great confidence let loose the rein, and as a friend now hold discourse with me. How was it possible within thy breast for avarice to find place mid so much wisdom as thou wast filled with by thy diligence? These words excited Statius at first somewhat to laughter. Afterward he answered, Each word of thine is love's dear sign to me, Verily, oftentimes do things appear which give fallacious matter to our doubts, instead of the true causes which are hidden. Thy question shows me thy belief to be that I was niggard in the other life. It may be from the circle where I was. Therefore know thou that avarice was removed too far from me, and this extravagance thousands of lunar periods have punished. And were it not that I my thoughts uplifted, when I the passage heard where thou exclaimest, as if indignant unto human nature, "To what impellest thou not, O cursed hunger of gold, the appetite of mortal men?" Revolving, I should feel the dismal joustings. When I perceived the hands could spread too wide their wings in spending, and repented me as well of that as of my other sins, how many with shorn hair shall rise again because of ignorance, which from this sin cuts off repentance living and in death? And know that the transgression which rebuts by direct opposition any sin, together with it here its verdure dries. Therefore, if I have been among that folk which mourns its avarice, to purify me, for its opposite has this befallen me. Now when thou sangest the relentless weapons of the twofold affliction of Yocusta, the singer of the songs bucolic said, from that which Clio there with thee preludes, it does not seem that yet had made thee faithful that faith without which no good works suffice. If this be so, what candles or what sun scattered thy darkness so that thou didst trim thy sails behind the fisherman thereafter? And he to him, thou first directest me towards Parnassus, in its grots to drink, and first concerning God didst me enlighten. Thou didst as he who walketh in the night, who bears his light behind, which helps him not, but wary makes the persons after him, when thou didst say, "The age renews itself, justice returns, and man's primeval time and a new progeny descends from heaven." Through thee I, poet, was, through thee, a Christian. But that thou better see what I design, to colour it will I extend my hand. Already was the world in every part pregnant with the true creed disseminated by messengers of the eternal kingdom. And thy assertion spoken of above with the new preachers was in unison, whence I to visit them the custom took. Then they became so holy in my sight that when Domitian persecuted them, not without tears of mine were their laments, and all the while that I on earth remained, them I befriended, and their upright customs made me disparage all the other sects. And ere I led the Greeks unto the rivers of Thebes in poetry, I was baptized, but out of fear was covertly a Christian, for a long time professing paganism. And this lukewarmness caused me the fourth circle to circuit round more than 4 centuries. Thou, therefore, who hast raised the covering that hid from me whatever good I speak of, while in ascending we have time to spare, tell me, in what place is our friend Terentius, Caecilius, Plautus, Varro, if thou knowest? Tell me if they are damned, and in what alley?
These, Perseus and myself, and others many, replied my leader, with that Grecian are whom more than all the rest the Muses suckled, in the first circle of the prison blind. Oft times we of the mountain hold discourse, which has our nurses ever with itself. Euripides is with us, Antiphon, Simonides, Agatho, and many other Greeks who of old their brows with laurel decked. There some of thine own people may be seen, Antigone, Deiphile, and Argia, And there is Mene, mournful as of old. There she is seen who pointed out Langia. There is Tiresias' daughter, and there Thetis, and there Deidamia with her sisters.
Silent already were the poets both, attent once more in looking round about from the ascent and from the walls released. And four handmaidens of the day already were left behind, and at the pole the fifth was pointing upward still its burning horn. What time, my guide?
I think that towards the edge our dexter shoulders it behoves us turn, circling the mount as we are wont to do.
Thus in that region custom was our ensign, and we resumed our way with less suspicion for the assenting of that worthy soul. They in advance went on, and I alone behind them, and I listened to their speech, which gave me lessons in the art of song. But soon their sweet discourses interrupted a tree, which midway in the road we found, with apples sweet and grateful to the smell. And even as a fir tree tapers upward from bough to bough, so downwardly did that, I think, in order that no one might climb it. On that side where our pathway was enclosed, fell from the lofty rock a limpid water, and spread itself abroad upon the leaves. The poets twain unto the tree drew near, and from among the foliage a voice cried,
"Of this food ye shall have scarcity."
Then said,
"More thoughtful Mary was of making the marriage feast complete and honourable than of her mouth, which now for you responds. And for their drink the ancient Roman women with water were content, and Daniel disparaged food, and understanding won. The primal age was beautiful as gold. Acorns it made with hunger savorous, and nectar every rivulet with thirst. Honey and locusts were the aliments that fed the Baptist in the wilderness, whence he is glorious and so magnified as by the evangel is revealed to you."
Purgatory. Canto 23.
The while among the verdant leaves mine eyes I riveted, as he is wont to do who wastes his life pursuing little birds, my more than father said unto me, "Son, come now,
because the time that is ordained us more usefully should be apportioned out."
I turned my face, and no less soon my steps unto the sages, who were speaking so they made the going of no cost to me. And lo, were heard a song and a lament, "Labia mea domine," in fashion such that delight and dolence it brought forth. "O my sweet father, what is this I hear?" began I, and he answered,
"Shades that go, perhaps the knot unloosing of their debt."
In the same way that thoughtful pilgrims do, who, unknown people on the road o'ertaking, turn themselves round to them, and do not stop, even thus, behind us with a swifter motion, coming and passing onward, gazed upon us a crowd of spirits, silent and devout. Each in his eyes was dark and cavernous, pallid in face, and so emaciate that from the bones the skin did shape itself. I do not think that so to merest brine could Erisichthon have been withered up by famine when most fear he had of it. Thinking within myself, I said, "Behold, this is the folk who lost Jerusalem when Mary made a prey of her own son. Their sockets were like rings without the gems. Whoever in the face of man reads Omo might